Hey guys, it's still June 30th, 2020. Daniel Schreiner here. We just had the final church send-off for Jeff and Stephanie Chang this last Sunday evening. I hope that Sunday evening, as you watched at home, caused you to be thankful even more for the impact that Jeff and Stephanie had on our church for the gospel over the last 10 years and in our lives. A few weeks ago, Jeff and I recorded this episode on reflecting on 10 years of ministry at Hinson. I think you will be encouraged. Welcome to the Disciple Hinson podcast. It's Daniel Schreiner, and I'm joined with...
This is Jeff Chang.
Hey, Jeff.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Jeff, it is the 18th of June, 2020. I would say you're about one-third through the goodbye tour at Hinson. I don't know how that makes you feel. But we're reaching the end of the line. You guys are taking off on here in early July. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right.
So this could very well be your last podcast as a pastor of Hinson Baptist Church, the podcast that you started. So say it ain't so.
It is so.
No, I said say it ain't. Jeff, just for maybe those who aren't regular listeners, just tell us briefly again, where are you going? What are you up to?
Yeah, in God's providence, we are headed off to Kansas City, Missouri, where I will be serving as a professor at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and also the curator of the Spurgeon Library over there. And this is something that we weren't anticipating or looking for, but it kind of came looking for us, and we see God's hand in it, and we're just trying to be faithful, even as we give huge thanks for these past 10 years of serving here at Hinson.
Well, that's what we want to do for the next 30 minutes or so, is just consider the many ways that God has used you in this church family for the last 10 years, kind of take a trip down memory lane. But before we go there, Jeff, is a curator a fancy word for a librarian?
No, I think it's more than that, because I'm not going to be a librarian as you normally think of librarian, where you're just checking out books.
And how well do you know the Dewey Decimal System?
And telling people to be quiet. But it's the Spurgeon Library is kind of this wonderful historical artifact, because it's actually Charles Spurgeon's own personal pastoral library, you know, so over 6,000 volumes of his book. He actually owned almost 12,000 volumes during his lifetime, but about 6,000 of those remain. And Midwestern owns that collection. And so this is just a wonderful kind of historical resource that we hope to use to further Spurgeon studies and also to kind of bring to light all that was going on there in the 19th century. So it's a center for research, for kind of welcoming kind of different events and conferences and sort of and those sorts of things. So I'll be kind of heading up those efforts.
That's fascinating. I wasn't intending to talk about this, but I do have two follow-up questions. One, does Spurgeon have any comic books? I think Todd Miles would want to know.
No, but he did collect a lot of the like political cartoons that were drawn about him over the days.
That might be enough to lure Todd out there to come visit you guys. Mm-hmm. And second, the more salient question, how did Midwestern, a seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, get this library?
Yeah, no, like after Spurgeon died, eventually his family put his whole library kind of up for auction.
On eBay?
No, before that time. But initially, William Jewell College in Missouri ended up buying those books. And so all the books were wrapped up and shipped over the Atlantic over to Missouri. And they just kind of sat in kind of the basement there of William Jewell College for many years. And there wasn't much done with them. And then eventually they put it up for blind auction. And I think Midwestern outbid like Southwestern, some of the other seminaries.
Okay.
And they won that auction. So
wow. I have a lot more questions about that, but we do need to move on to the main topic, which is reflecting on 10 years of your ministry here. Are you up for this,
Jeff? Yeah, and tell the listeners like why this matters, because you know, this is more than just for my own sake to kind of walk down memory lane, but do you have any particular goals for this time?
Yeah, I think it's always good to consider how God has worked in the past. Mm. And how, in particular, he's used you, some of the things he's taught you over the last 10 years. Mm. And I think that will give our people a vision for using their lives as for the good of this church, for building up this church, for serving this church, and for imitating you in ways as you have imitated Christ. Mm. So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, I hope that happens. But I do want to underscore, like you said, this is God's grace, right? God, if good things have happened, if God has used me, all glory goes to him, you know, and it really has very little to do with anything unique about me, but boy, God is good, you know, and he can use even weak, broken vessels like me to do his work. And that's a wonderful thing.
Amen. That's a good word. So just to begin, Jeff, just tell us a little bit about how you came to Henson. How did you hear about the church? Anything that strikes you? Any even lessons learned? I mean, we might have some brothers who are listening to this podcast who hope to go into pastoral ministry someday. So maybe tell us about that initial visit or that candidating experience. Anything that stands out to you in those early days? Tell us a little bit of the story.
Yeah, you and I were serving together at Capitol Hill. Both of us had done the pastoral internship there and had stuck around because we felt like there was more growing that we could do there at the church. We were being discipled. By God's grace, they invited us to come on staff, and we worked for Michael. You know, Michael was kind of our direct supervisor. And Michael came to the point where at Capitol Hill, he also felt the Lord leading him towards, you know, a lead kind of pastor position. And over time, the relationship with Henson developed, and Henson called him. And I believe during that search process, they told him, hey, we have room not only for you, but potentially for another staff, or maybe even two. And I remember Michael coming back to D.C. and talking to us about it. And he actually talked to both of us.
Yeah.
And there was even initially like this slight chance, like, hey, could it even be possible that we would both come out with them right away?
I specifically remember that Michael had a rose on his desk, and at the end of the conversation, he gave you the rose.
You know, I never got a rose.
So maybe we'll give you one on your way out.
I think as he talked it over with others there, he realized, okay, trying to bring two would be too much, right? And so I think he just began to talk to me, and I think he talked to you also. Do you remember what he said to you? And I never asked you. I guess we never really talked about this. Did you feel?
He said, "Well, Jeff said yes, so Dan, you're out." And that was the end of the conversation. And then I didn't hear from him again for years.
No wonder we've never talked about this.
That's right. He was looking for kind of an executive pastor. You had finished seminary. I had barely begun. Mm-hmm. And the Lord knew what he was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The timing worked out better this way, I guess.
Yeah.
I remember, as Steph and I heard about that opportunity, it just made so much sense, you know, like why, of course we would do this. And Steph was supportive. Neither of us had ever been out here, but we were glad to kind of come check it out. I remember some on the initial visit, how kind the people were. I remember the Schufelts taking us in, letting us stay at their place. The Miles were super welcoming. It was fun to be able to talk NBA basketball with Todd. the Hughes hosted us for a meal, and we met other people in the church. So all that was very, very encouraging. You know, the church seemed very large. During my candidating Q&A, I heard some very strange questions, you know, which kind of gave me an impression, okay, this church, it feels kind of like a hodgepodge. You know, people are concerned about a lot of different things, but I don't sense kind of a unifying spirit in this church, you know.
Like what, do you remember any of those strange questions, like regarding your like attire or like, will you wear polo shirts while you preach?
No, One question in particular stands out to me is just they were asking me about my views of spiritual warfare and exorcisms, and I just had to kind of try to think of what I thought about those things kind of on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
So just things like that, things that seemed a little more random to me, you know, so kind of more eccentric.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think in that diversity, I mean, in that kind of strangeness, I also saw more diversity because I think CHBC was a lot more sort of homogenous, you know, in terms of younger, you know, type A kind of personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And here I saw a lot more diversity, which I thought was a good thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Fast forward to candidating. Do you remember preaching your candidating sermon here?
You know, I actually never preached a candidating sermon here.
Oh, you didn't?
No. Because they had called Michael in January, he felt like he couldn't come in town with me for my candidating trip and not preach, because they were sort of eager to hear their pastor preach. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I preached my farewell sermon at CHBC,
mm-hmm.
and they encouraged folks in the congregation to listen to that sermon.
Oh, okay.
As sort of my candidating sermon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you just had that time of like Q&A with the congregation previously.
Yeah.
And do you remember what percentage vote you got?
I don't, but I remember I got a higher percentage.
Than
Michael. So yeah. That's what.
And I'm sure a higher than mine. I think I was in the low 90s. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, A minus, I'll take it. What any thoughts on what stands out to you from those early days, lessons that the Lord taught you guys? What was it like to make that transition from serving on staff at CHBC? This is your first time here at Hinson. This was your first time serving as an elder and a pastor.
Yeah.
So tell us about those. That.
Yeah, I remember just distinctly that first year, feeling kind of a new experience, which is kind of the weight, the burden of being a pastor, you know, knowing that I have a responsibility for the spiritual care of these people, you know. And I remember just feeling the weight of that just on my shoulders, kind of often, almost in a tangible way. I distinctly remember stepping into this role as a pastor, having that title, but actually not knowing what it means to be a pastor yet, you know? And in my meetings with people and like some challenging meetings, trying to like walk in these shoes that were too big for me, you know? And that was humbling. I'm sure there were a lot of missteps. I know there were a lot of missteps, things I wish, looking back, I could have gone about differently. But God is gracious. People are gracious. I'm grateful I got through those. early years, I remember there were challenges on many sides. We wanted to go patient, to go slow, but when those challenges arose, we had to make a decision, you know, and that wasn't always easy.
Mm-hmm.
Would
you have any words of advice for brothers maybe who they've been called as an elder or a pastor for the first time, or for maybe someone who has just arrived at a church and maybe they're wanting to see some church reform, some revitalization? Mm. Any kind of lessons learned of us, particularly maybe for those early years or for those early days?
Yeah. I think sometimes what I wish I could have done differently was just, have been more honest about kind of the things I didn't know, you know, like when I said, I was trying to walk in shoes that were too big for me. In some of those instances in those meetings, it would have been very easy for me to have said, look, I know this is awkward. You know, I know we barely know each other. I don't have all the answers. You know, but can I pray with you? You know, can we think about this together? You know, just so approach it much more humbly as opposed to trying to pretend I was somebody I wasn't. You know, like I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, like you needed to prove yourself to those people with your knowledge or something, and maybe you needed. What we need to do more is prove ourselves by our love.
Yeah,
by our care,
yeah,
pastoral
that's right.
care. Mm-hmm. That's helpful.
When I think back to the difficulties early on, and you know, I'm aware that some people listening to this podcast might actually have been there. I don't want to come off as like saying that those years were terrible and that nothing good happened. Certainly we saw much good. And one of the things that we saw was just the congregation really appreciating Michael's preaching, you know, as they were coming alive and hearing the gospel. And even if there were difficulties, I think it just highlights for me how kind God was to use our imperfect wisdom to continue to move things forward, you know, in our work in the church. So
yeah, yeah, that's a good good perspective. I want to dig in. There's been so many different things here at Henson that you've been involved in, so many different groups and parts, different aspects of the ministry here that you've been involved in. So I want to run through those. But because you highlighted the preaching of God's word, and I guess I had forgotten that you didn't preach a candidating sermon here, but you did this last Sunday serve the church so well and preaching from Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, your farewell sermon here. And what a sweet, brother, meditation on the gospel. And I just, so many things stand out to me. I mean, just the simplicity and the context of you leaving, looking at that passage, telling the church that Jesus loves us. I mean, just that simple message, as well as how you went deep with thinking through grace and faith and God, and good works prepared beforehand for us to do. So thank you for serving us. But I guess what I want to ask is, spend a little longer time than we're going to have time for some of these other things. What has God taught you, and how has God sanctified you in as a preacher?
Yeah.
Had you preached much before you came here to Henson?
Not much.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was still pretty green. I had preached some and gotten, you know, encouragement and affirmation, you know, that people saw some things in me. I've grown a lot just in learning about, you know, kind of the homiletical kind of skills, you know, delivery, kind of carrying out the ends of my sentences, looking up.
How did you work on those things?
I think I just made myself, I just heard feedback.
Okay.
First of all, became aware. And through service review, so grateful for service reviews, and then try to work on those things. Try to be aware.
So, for those of you who don't know, service review is just a time that we have after on Sunday, usually at the end of the day, where we just give those who led, those who preached and taught, feedback, encouragement, and some criticism, so that they might grow.
Yeah,
yeah,
and that's huge. I mean, the kinds of kind of mechanical, practical things in terms of putting a sermon together. Make a huge difference, you know. So I'm grateful for the feedback you get. I got and all kinds of brothers get for that. But I think even more, the Lord has really helped me by His grace to grow in my confidence in Him, you know, in His ability to work through His Word. Trying to approach each Sunday with a sense of expectation, knowing that if He can save one, He can save 1,000, you know, because it's not, you know, the size of the work that He does is not dependent at all on our skill. You know, it's He can work through that. He can work above that. He can work in spite of that. And He does work. Now, His word is powerful. So learning to approach preaching with faith, with a dependence on the Spirit, with a recognition of my own weakness, and yet knowing that, my weakness does not limit God in any way. I think it's really taught me, I've really had to learn to have a kind of gospel courage, you know, because I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I haven't done anything to earn the right to be able to stand before God's word and God's people and open up God's word. But there in that understanding, I really have to kind of lean into the gospel and once again, remind myself of the fact that this is God's work, you know, not man's.
Thank you for that. That's excellent. Well, let's just say a few sentences. This is like free association. As I talk about some of the areas of ministry that you've either led or been really vitally participated in, I want you to kind of just talk about those, these aspects of these. So how has it been as I've mentored you in ministry for the last 10 years?
You know, I've had to grow through it. It's been sanctifying. No, I'm kidding. It's been a joy to work with you.
Thanks, Jeff. We're moving on. We have what about?
No, and the funny thing is the Shriner connection continues, even in Midwestern.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
You can't get away from the Shriners. We're everywhere. What about serving alongside Michael?
Yeah. No, it's a huge gift. And I hope to say, I want to say this to him in person before I leave, and I will, but you know, my mom reminded me recently of what a gift it is from the Lord when you have a mentor, one who takes an interest in you, who invests in you, who kind of patiently helps you to grow. And Michael's been all of that for me, and just it's a gift from the Lord. I know that not everybody gets a mentor, you know, but God in his kindness has given me one in Michael. Mm. So I'm so thankful.
Yeah. What about serving on staff?
What a wonderful team. It's funny, when we first arrived, they weren't totally sure about Michael. You know, there was some suspicion, but...
But they liked you.
I was kind of, you know, I wasn't threatening to them. You know, I was just kind of there. But, you know, once they got on board, and all of them basically did, most of them mm-hmm. Got on board, mm-hmm. and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were just a godly, supportive, hardworking team. And, you know, I just have so many wonderful memories of serving with the staff. Yeah, grateful for all of them.
Will you be disappointed if we don't have a staff goodbye song for you at your goodbye lunch?
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
You hear that, Fonny? You're off the hook. What about serving as an elder? You just had your last elder meeting as an elder of Hinson,
yeah.
And we kind of all said our goodbyes. You shared a few words.
The wonderful thing about a plurality of elders is that they're gifted in so many different ways, and getting to watch these brothers serve over the past 10 years and get to hear kind of their varied wisdom and gifts, that has just, I trust, enriched my life, you know, has helped me grow in all kinds of different ways that I otherwise wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So this church is blessed with godly elders, and it's been a privilege to serve with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about elder retreats? You started those.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've only had one or two injuries come back,
true,
casualties.
True, but no fatalities. So
okay.
That's good.
Good.
Those are a lot of fun.
Okay.
I hope you carry on the tradition of a competitive game each time.
We'll do our best. maybe Mark Whitcomb will pick up that mantle. You and Michael really helped launch the pastoral residency program. What's that been like, helping oversee that, being involved in those, in the various guys' lives?
Yeah, Michael's really the one who's run it. I've just kind of administrated it, but I'm so grateful for this program, grateful for the relationships. If you weren't aware, I think training up future pastors is part of the job description of a pastor, mm-hmm. and that's what Paul kind of lays mm-hmm. out for Timothy there in 2 Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been, I think, a key part of our work, and it's been wonderful to see the good fruit come from it.
Mm-hmm. Favorite pastoral resident. we're moving on. You revamped the church website. You spent most of your time as a pastor here working in code. Is that correct?
No, that's not true.
Okay.
But yeah, I've been through three websites.
Wow.
Three iterations.
Uh-huh.
I think each one has gotten better, and this most recent one's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have we arrived? Do we never need to change our website? We can continue to keep all your pictures up there.
No, we should take those down.
Okay. What about Wednesday morning Bible study, which we would usually do up here in this room on the fourth floor?
Yeah, I love that group. A dear group of older saints. I'm just encouraged by how teachable they are. It's wonderful to see even kind of further along in the Christian life to see these saints still teachable, still mm-hmm. humble before God's word, you know, still excited to see new things in God's word. Mm-hmm. So I've really appreciated that group very much.
Yeah, me too. I always see their eyes kind of fall, or their faces kind of fall, when they see that I'm walking through the hallway and it's my turn to teach. They're like, where's Jeff? First hour classes, that was a big part of your kind of job description was kind of, I mean, there was already a really dynamic Sunday school
yep.
adult classes, but talk to me. I mean, you've been a sojourner most of the time?
No, yes,
yeah.
For a good portion of the time.
Okay.
But, you know, it's those first hour classes, they've been through a number of iterations also, you know, mm-hmm. these past 10 years, because mm-hmm. we started these Sunday seminars initially, and then we realized...
That was dumb.
It's not working well with kind of what's already there in terms of Sunday school, so we integrated them. But then as the church has grown, now we've tried to offer some additional elective classes. So, you know, we're still working at kind of settling into a first hour rhythm. I think it's all been good.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of good teaching has happened. Great, encouraged to see the increase in engagement, encouraged to see different brothers step up to teach and kind of show their gifts. But yeah, I think you're going to take up that mantle, and I look forward to seeing kind of this whole first hour thing settle into a more stable kind of rhythm.
The telos of the first hour classes was always to be over Zoom, right? Then we know we've arrived.
You know, this is under your administration. Goodness. I'll let you decide that.
Yeah, thanks. The budget.
Yeah, again, grateful to see where it's come from. I mean, first, you know, 10 years ago, those first several years, the budget struggled. But I think as commitment to the church has grown, as people have benefited from the ministry here, they've found it more exciting to give to the ministry of this church and to see kind of what we're doing here spread abroad. So much so that even, you know, during a pandemic, we're just so encouraged by how the giving in this church is doing, you know? Mm-hmm. So again, I think the church budget is in many ways like a barometer to people's commitment to the church, and is encouraging to think about what that's telling to us in terms of the church budget now.
Yeah. Jeff, I mean, I could pause at any one of these things and just thank the Lord for how he's used you. But just with this one in particular, just your legacy that you've left here, your hard work that you've put in, I think the transparency from the leadership, that packet that you've put together, the way that you've conducted or kind of led those open forums, and just your communication and clarity and helping us know how to steward the resources in this church is just going to be something that's going to be the gift that keeps on giving here at Hinson. So,
well, I do want to say Mark is doing a wonderful job also, and he's carrying it on in ways that I didn't. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I'm excited for that too. What about, you served as a Willamette West trustee, and for those of you who don't know, that's our local association, Conservative Baptist, and Willamette West is our region, and you were a trustee. What did that mean, and what was that experience like?
Yeah, I was grateful for the opportunity. I got to serve as a trustee over kind of a region of CB churches here in Portland, and, you know, CB is interesting because it's, you know, it's a Baptist association, but even within that umbrella, there's a lot of diversity among CB churches in terms of even some theological kind of distinctives and ecclesiological distinctives. But it's been encouraging to see that among the more like-minded churches within CB, the relationships that we've built, the partnerships, and we have a good relationship with CB Northwest just in general. You know, James Gleason, the new director, appreciates us. So I enjoy that experience very much because I think it just helped us kind of lean on our historic associations and broaden our relationships.
Yeah. Yeah. What about your small group?
Love the small group. Dear friends. They are like family. Our children probably think that they're like uncles and aunts, you know, so they love, our children love small group night.
Have you mainly had the same small group? Or you've been leading a small group for most of the time you've been here, and it's been largely the same people?
Yeah, for many years. We have a few people that have remained from the very beginning, but we've also spun off at least three or four other small groups. So we've had a number of kind of people go through it.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the things you're going to miss most maybe is Colonel Summers Park. Any thoughts?
You know, Colonel Summers is wonderful in the winters. It's so beautiful to look at.
You just love to go through that
when it's rainy,
that soggy swamp.
Yes.
In your flip-flops.
But yeah, it's weird in the summers, you know, mm-hmm. when the weather's really nice. We'll miss it. We will definitely miss it. Steph and I were talking about how nice it is to live across all that green space. Mm-hmm. I hope we can find something like that in Kansas City.
But you'll probably miss the church basketball gym more.
Man, I think the church basketball gym is probably my favorite gym on earth at this point. It's a little smaller, so my out of shapeness doesn't affect me as much. But even more, just the brothers and sisters that I've played with down there. Uh-huh. You know, the regular pickup games. It's been a good place for me, and I'll miss it very much.
If anybody listening to this podcast wants to retire Jeff Chang's jersey and have a retirement ceremony, I think that would be most excellent. Well, we'll have you back for like a seniors tournament or something like that. We'll have
cast. Seniors?
Yeah. No, that's fine. Well, we could keep on going on and on. I had a bunch of other things. But it would probably just continue to go downhill, thanks to me. But Jeff, I just wanted to say that, you know, you and Stephanie will always be Henson family. You know, they're one of the things that I kind of wanted to get your feedback on, but it'll have to wait for another time, is how much you became a student of Henson history and just understanding Henson from the very early days and the start of it. And, you know, there have been a lot of pastors who have come through and served this church well. There have been some funny stories, too, that we like to tell.
You know, I was thinking about this point, like, Henson has such a rich history.
Yeah.
And one regret that I have that I never did is it would have been fun to have put together, like, a morning where you're actually, like, walking through Henson's history and, like, visiting the sites. You know, like, where they first landed, coming from the east, like where the ferry took them,
okay,
where they set up the first Sunday school, where
like
the
a walking
first
tour.
Like a walking tour, okay, throughout Southeast Portland.
Yeah.
So that's my assignment to you, Dan, that you can plan this. This will be a fun Saturday morning activity to kind of walk through Henson's history in Southeast Portland.
Yeah. Walking sounds tiring, but maybe we could get one of those amphibious vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, one of okay. those duck mobiles.
Or maybe a bunch of those scooters, those electric scooters around town.
I like where we're going with this. Anyways, brother, I think we'd be hard pressed to find a pastor who has given his heart and his soul to this church and labored in love like you have. And so we're just so thankful for the way the Lord has used you. And I think we'll have opportunities coming up to share and show our appreciation. I know you and Stephanie and the family really appreciated seeing everyone in the church parking lot for the reception back last Sunday. Do you have any parting words on this podcast? I mean, you've had a lot of opportunities already to say kind of final words, but maybe particularly for those listening on this podcast.
The main kind of farewell thing I'd want to say would just be kind of what I was saying up top. You know, if there's anything good that has happened here at Henson, it's the Lord's doing. And, you know, I feel like the more of me that's mixed up into it, the more I probably caused problems, you know, and brought trouble. But the more of it that is God at work by His Spirit, through the power of His Word, boy, then that's going to be lasting and good, you know. And so, brothers and sisters, it's know that power, that grace, it continues to be available to you in all its richness, you know. And as you look ahead, knowing that God is with you, you should look ahead with great enthusiasm and courage for the days ahead. And I'm just so proud to have been a part of this church, and I'm excited to hear how the Lord will continue to use Henson.
Thank you for that, Jeff. Yeah. I know you weren't super excited about coming on today to talk about yourself, but as is typical of you, you pointed us towards the Savior and towards His kindness and His sovereignty and care for this church and how He's worked in and through you over these last 10 years. So we're going to miss you, Jeff.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
And thanks for listening, everybody. Join us next time for another Disciple Henson podcast.